It's time for another episode of the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show brought to you, as always, by the great folks over at touringplans.com. Be the hero of your group. Have everybody that you're traveling with look up to you and talk about how smart you are, because you're using a premium subscription to touringplans.com. Your family and friends don't need to see you glancing down at your iPhone using that awesome Lines app to give you the up-to-the-second information you need to know where to go to avoid the crowds. You know, you're going to be using the Optimizer, which lets you pick the attractions your group is most interested in and gives you the best way possible to see those attractions with the least amount of weight. You know what? Just let your group think that you are just the smartest person in the world. Don't let them know about touringplans.com, but you know it's the best money you can spend on your next Disney vacation. Check them out today and be the smartest man in the world. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 817 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMilesRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and although Ricky is not here today, I'm going to give you your six-day warning, guys. Valentine's Day is this Saturday, maybe 5 days. So get out there. At least, you know, you probably haven't even started thinking about the ideas for Saturday yet, but you know what? Come Thursday or Friday, it's about time to, you know, get something done so you don't get in trouble. So we're going to start off the week by talking Disney, as we always do. Thanks so much for downloading the show. And today we're going to be joined by a friend that I met at the Tower of Terror 10-miler corrals. Actually, not even the corrals, the starting line, the big mob of people there right at the starting line before our corral was set to go. And it's my friend Ed from up in Tacoma, Washington. How's it going, my friend?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Glad to have you on the show. Doing great tonight. And we talk about it being a small world and Run Disney brings people together. And it literally brought us together at the Tower of Terror race. It was very cool.
Yeah, I just saw you. I looked out the corner of my eye. I saw your yellow shirt that you had there. And I was like, well, I'm going to introduce myself.
I love that. I'm glad you did, because now, you know, we get to talk and stuff. And so we're going to get into you. You took a really great trip around Christmas time with a sailing on the Disney Fantasy, which we love talking about here in the middle of winter. Bookended it with a couple stays at Walt Disney World for a couple nights. But real quick, you know, Tower of Terror race, was this your first Run Disney event, and how did it go for you?
It was my first Run Disney event, race, and I had a blast. I was disappointed with my time, but I think it was probably the best experience that I've ever had, you know, as far as being down in Disney. I mean, I can't say anything more.
Yeah, it was a good race. I mean, that the weather that night, I remember, because I've done a few races down there now, and it was decent, and it was just a lot of fun. And, you know, what would you say was your highlight from that? You know, because with your first race, you have a set of expectations, but you don't have the experiences. So looking back, you know, anything that surprised you? Because we have a lot of friends getting ready to run their first Run Disney race.
I thought, you know, I listened to a lot of podcasts, and I thought I was ready, but I thought just the entertainment out on the course was just really fun. And I was kind of caught in between whether listening to my running music or just kind of taking in the atmosphere, because it was just so much kind of going around you that really made the event a lot of fun.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because when I ran the marathon back in January last month, I know on my iPhone, I got that iPhone 6 Plus, I got lots of memory. So I spent like 3 hours putting together a playlist for the marathon. Cause I'm like, I'm going to be out there for like 5 hours, man. I am going to need music. And I spent all this time downloading music, shuffling it from here to there to get it on the phone. And then I never once listened to any music during the whole race, because there was so much going on the course, just like you said.
Yeah. And the other thing, well, what ended up happening with me is, you know, I was so excited, you know, and I started flipping pictures with my iPhone and, you know, listening to music, and my phone died right in the middle of the race.
Oh no, man, there's nothing worse.
Yeah. So at that point I just took off my headphones and just, you know, continued my run and just took in the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's how to do it. And good luck to everybody going to Princess here in a couple of weeks. You know, it's the Run Disney season is upon us. So good luck to everybody going there. And let's talk about your cruise. Let's jump there. And you mentioned in your email, we got talking, you know, a little bit back, and you said that you kind of had to postpone this vacation for a little while, so it made it all the sweeter when it actually got there. So what was going on with that?
Well, basically, it was a cruise that we've been planning for quite some time. You know, we did a cruise about 4 years ago. We did the Disney Dream, but that was in the summertime. This was my third cruise, and so our first cruise was in December on the Wonder, and I always wanted to do a cruise on the Christmas week, and you know, just the budget wasn't quite working out, and so we postponed, and so literally, you know, we pushed the cruise back a couple years, and finally it just worked out where we booked this cruise on Christmas week. And the other thing that was real exciting for me, which, you know, I'll talk about a little bit, is you know, the stop in Puerto Rico, where, you know, I have family in Puerto Rico, and my wife and my daughter haven't been to Puerto Rico yet. So it was just, I mean, a perfect opportunity. You got Christmas week, stopped down in Puerto Rico. You know, couldn't get any better than that.
Yeah, sounds like it's totally made for you there. That's awesome to hear. Now, tell us about sailing over Christmas week, though. I know we're going to get into this, but, you know, it seems like a very unique thing because, you know, the ships sail 52 weeks out of the year, but you only get that one opportunity to sail over the Christmas week, the Christmas holiday. And, you know, I would think that if you would want to do this possibly in 2015, that now would, you know, even though it's February, now would be the time to book that if you're even looking into it right now.
Yeah, it was just the whole environment on the ship. You know, you could tell, you know, first off, you have the music constantly playing as you walk through the hallways. You know, you have the Christmas music going, and everything is decorated, and just the atmosphere. You could just tell that Christmas was in the air, you know, throughout everyone's interactions and things like that.
Now, just off the top here, you said you sailed on the Wonder, which is one of the classic ships. You also sailed on the Dream in the middle of summer, two very different experiences. Did the Fantasy kind of exceed those expectations for you in the cruise experience overall?
Yeah, I thought it did. You know, it's a little bit different than the Dream, different. But I'm not sure. It's kind of hard to tell because, you know, with all the Christmas decorations. But I mean, definitely exceeded our expectations. You know, we definitely thought it was just a great experience.
Yeah, I'm dying to get on the Fantasy. That's the one ship I haven't been on. I love the Magic and the Wonder. The classic ships are smaller, but they're quaint, and they've got everything you need. They're not small ships. When you say small ships, it's all relative to the Dream and the Fantasy. But, you know, I haven't cracked that nut on the Fantasy yet, and I'm just dying to, because it seems like, you know, I don't know how much time you spent there, but like the adult clubs look very interesting, even though I'm not a drinker. You know, there's just lots of different venues, that Satellite Falls up in the adult pool area. There's a lot of stuff that's unique to that ship. There's even a better kids area, like Splash Zone. So I'd like to get on there someday.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about your stateroom, because that's kind of the most important part of a cruise. You got to have, you know, your home base there, and it's got to be something that's comfortable and utilitarian for your family and get everything done that you need to. So what kind of room did you have, and what'd you think?
So we did the Navigator's Veranda.
Nice.
I haven't done a regular veranda before, but I honestly thought next time I cruise, I'm going to go Navigator's Veranda again. I think number one, you know, the cost is less, but I thought it was a little more private than some of the other ones.
Yeah, and for those,
because it was on the corner there.
Yeah, and for those folks that might not know what a Navigator's Veranda is, it's basically, it's not a full veranda or a balcony on a stateroom. What it is, it's usually, like you said, on a corner, or it has maybe some more metal there instead of the plexiglass where you can see through. It might have a carved out hole there, but it does give you the opportunity to get outside, get in the, you know, the sea air there, and it's, you know, usually a little bit less expensive in your booking, but it gives you more space. And like you said, it's a great option to step up from maybe just an ocean view with a window.
Yeah. And that was actually one of the, you know, we ended up, cause we had booked, a week in December, not necessarily the Christmas weekend. And when we ended up changing it, I moved down to the Navigator's Veranda and ended up being about the same price as it was for a regular room on a different week.
Ooh, nice. It's good when you can get that. Yeah, it's a little extra there. It's a bonus, you know, and I'll tell you what, though. You can never go backwards, so once you get the full veranda, it's going to be hard to go back to Navigators. I'm telling you, I made that mistake with my wife on our honeymoon, and I'm still paying for it. Oh, man. You know, because I booked this for the podcast cruise coming up in July. Originally, I didn't tell her this, but, you know, the day they came out, we're all booking. We're scrambling to get our cabins. And I just threw us in an 11C again. And then I broke the news to her that we're in a standard inside. And, yeah, that didn't fly. So I had to call Disney Cruise Line back. And she's like, yeah, we have a veranda, right? So just you got to be careful with that, everybody. You know, you can't go backwards. But a Navigator's Veranda is fun. I've sailed on one of those on the Disney Wonder and really, really enjoyed that. So, all right, let's talk about dining around the ship. What'd you guys think of the dining? Because you got the rotational dining, you got specialty dining. What'd you guys do?
First night we changed our Apollo reservation to the first night because we it kind of interfered. You know, with, during the Christmas week, we wanted to make sure we had mostly family time. My daughter is 11. And, you know, but we still want to spend as much time together. So we ended up switching our Apollo dinner to the first night, which actually worked out real well. And that was just great experience and great food. You know, eat more than you can.
Oh, yeah. That's ridiculous.
But the rotational dining was great as well. You know, I think we really enjoyed the... what's that called? The Royal Palace, I think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely Royal Court. I think on the
Royal Court. Yeah, yeah. You know, we I think we enjoyed that one the most, but you know, really enjoy the fact that you get to go to different dining areas every day.
Now, with it being a longer cruise, because Fantasy does a 7-night cruises. Did you tend to see, because you've been on the Wonder and the Dreams, so you have kind of some perspective. Was it more formal on a couple of the nights there than you would see on a typical 4-night or shorter cruise?
Yeah, so we had one formal night, which most people wore shirts and ties. You know, we went all out. You know, I had a full suit, and we were prepared for that. And so that was really nice. There was a semi-formal night, but I would say 25% of the people there went semi-formal. Everyone else just... You know, on Disney Cruise, you can usually just go on with shorts and in a shirt, and you'll be fine. But the formal night was real nice.
You had to imagine, too, that once you got dressed up, there were lots of great photo opportunities around the ship because, you know, I've seen the pictures. Obviously, never sailed over Christmas week, but it seems like, you know, they have beautiful trees and just decorations and those, you know, any cruise you go on, they're going to have those professional photographer kind of backdrops where you can get lots of great family pictures. Now, did you guys get to take advantage of stuff like that?
Yeah, some of the lines were really long. but we tried to get as many pictures as we could then. And so that was definitely a great opportunity and get some good family photos. But some of them were just too long. We kind of went in line and decided to step out. But they can get long depending on what time you get in line there. The one thing I probably would recommend is, and we realized, is that they were still out there a couple hours after dinner.
Wow.
And the lines died down quite a bit.
Yeah, that's a great thing because I can tell you, I've also had to get the worst line for me on the cruise line is always the morning they bring out all the princesses at once. You know, they have like five or six of them in the atrium and you got to get down there. Fortunately, Mallory's getting a little bit older, so hopefully in the next couple of years we'll be over this. But, you know, they're pretty efficient with it, but I think it's just a matter of, you know, it's such a unique opportunity. And when does everybody get dressed up and when's everybody all in one place? I mean, that's it's an opportunity you really kind of don't want to pass up.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about your itinerary. So you guys went to Puerto Rico. So was this a Southern Caribbean?
Eastern Caribbean.
Okay, because I didn't know if they went to Puerto Rico every time on Eastern. Because I don't think they do every run. But so tell us about your ports and, like you said, maybe that special time in Puerto Rico.
So we had one stop in Puerto Rico, then a stop in St. Martin, and then you had the stop at Castaway Cay, and several days at sea. And the stop at Puerto Rico, that was great. I called my cousin up and he met us down there, right at the port. And, he just kind of shoved all the guys who were trying to sell us, tours at the port and said, I'm your tour guide.
Nice.
So we met up with him and he took us around to, El Morro. Which is, you know, an iconic landmark in Puerto Rico, and we we went, he took us to a restaurant which was just outstanding. It was just more of a local restaurant, and I'm looking for the name of it now, but so if anyone's thinking of going somewhere to eat, I definitely recommend it. It's called the Manolin.
All right.
Old San Juan.
Okay. We'll have to tell Hotchberg. I know he's big on Puerto Rico.
Yeah. So it's a little hole in the wall place, but you know, it's right there on in the main area, and great place to eat if you're looking for some authentic Puerto Rican food.
Those are always the best places too, the hole, you know, the hole in the wall. That's way better than the tourist trap.
Yeah. But basically we spent the time with my cousin, and we walked around the city, did a little shopping, went to the grocery store, got some coffee to take home with us, and on our way. And another stop was St. Martin, and we did a bus tour there, which was that was okay. You know, I probably wouldn't do the bus tour again, but it got us the opportunity to see the whole island.
Now, is St. Martin the place that has the beach where the airplanes come in real low?
Yeah, it's they have like the French side and then the Dutch side.
Yeah, I've never been there, but man, those pictures intrigue me. It looks like they're going to bounce right off the top of your head when they're landing. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They look like they're Photoshopped.
Yeah.
Nice. So would you recommend anything for anybody that might be doing an Eastern and they're going to St. Martin? You said maybe not the bus tour, but was there anything else that you should have done that?
I probably would do the beach next time. So maybe doing a little shopping in the area there, and then maybe do like one of either go to the beach on your own or do a beach tour. I probably would recommend that. The bus tour was okay. You know, there was a lot of information, a lot of good, it was basically the bus tour. They took us around, and we got three stops. We got one stop down on the other side, on the French side, to do some shopping there. And then we ended up, there was a photo stop where real nice opportunity for you to take some good photos of the location. And then there was another stop, and I don't remember the name of the ice cream place, but it was a kind of a popular ice cream location. And we got some ice cream and went back to the ship.
Nothing wrong with me, get back on the ship and have more ice cream.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be doing. That's what I do. All right. So let's now the Eastern has a lot of sea days compared to some of the other, like the Western's more port intensive. So what did you tend to do on the ship on those sea days? Because I'll tell you what, personally, and this, I don't know, you know, what it is about me, but I love sea days. I mean, you could almost send me on a 7-night cruise and not even go to a port, and I'd probably be fine. So how do you guys handle the sea days?
We just relax.
I know. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, no, you know, we tried to take advantage. We did the Apollo brunch.
Oh, nothing better. Oh, I love that. I could do that every day.
Yeah, that was great. We did, you know, movies. We watched a couple movies. We watched Alexander's Horrible Day.
Yep, I still have to take Mallory to see that now that it's at the Dollar Show. She's still on me about that.
We Into the Woods. We watched the premiere of Into the Woods.
Nice.
What was that? Oh, and Big Hero 6. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
My daughter's over here talking to me on the side.
There you go. You got to help her.
Yeah, actually, and one of the things I kind of knew before we went on is I had an idea of what they would be playing, because I kind of knew that they were going to play movies, and we like to watch a lot of movies, so we specifically did not watch movies for the past Disney movies for the past 6 months, knowing that it'd be on the ship.
I do the same thing. I tell myself I'm saving money because this cruise is so expensive. I'm not going to spend the $50 and go to the movies for 6 months that I can see, because I know they're going to be on the ship. That's exactly right.
So the other day at sea, we didn't go up to the spa this time. We just really just kind of hung out, relaxed, went swimming, went on the aqueduct for sure several times. And one of the nights, which was kind of one of the highlights for us on a sea night, was Sunday night. They're playing Sunday night football. Up on the big screen, and it was the Seahawks versus Arizona there.
Nice. I'll tell you what, I love that Funnel Vision TV and I love live sports on it. And I'm not a soccer fan. I know some of our listeners are. My daughter is a huge soccer fan and we watched, I guess it was World Cup or something on there. And I had no idea. It was two countries that I, knew nothing about, but it's just something about the camaraderie of everybody around. Now, did you have other Seattle fans up there with you? Maybe some folks from the Northwest?
We did. It was so much fun. It was, I didn't know they were going to play the Seahawks. I was hoping they'd play it on Sunday. I didn't know they'd actually play it on the big screen there. But we came prepared for Sunday, whether we could see it or not, but we came with our Seahawks jerseys. We're big Seahawks fans. And, there were other Seahawks fans there too with their jerseys. And I think we kind of took over the top of the ship there.
I've actually sailed one time during football season. And it is cool. People, it's just kind of it's an American thing, but people wear their team's colors, their city's colors on those, during football season. You even see it with the college teams too. And it's really cool because it gives you an opportunity to, you might pass somebody down the hall and they might be from the same city as you, but typically you wouldn't know. But if they have on your jersey, it's like, hey, what's up? Go Hawks, or something like
yeah.
that.
That's yeah, awesome. We found that. It was really fun. It was Christmas week, but that was probably one of our biggest highlights.
That's cool. Because we're going to shift over here to the Walt Disney World stuff real quick. But if somebody's planning on going over Christmas, was there any other special holiday programming that you wouldn't get any other time of the year that kind of sticks with you still? Like you're like, that was really a neat thing to do. I'm glad we took that cruise.
Yeah, so there were a couple of special events that they had, a couple down in the main lobby area, where they would have Santa would come out. They'd have a special, Christmas program. Then it would snow in the lobby area.
Oh wow!
I think they made it snow on Christmas Eve.
Nice.
Overall, they had this a big gingerbread display kind of in the main lobby area. All the characters decked out in their Christmas gear. Another thing is you can't go wrong with, all the decorations and things out there. But Christmas Eve was something special. Everyone towards the night, there are a lot of people walking around in their pajamas.
Nice.
They had their Christmas pajamas on and you could just tell, Christmas was coming around the corner, just a lot of fun.
I'm almost picturing like Polar Express, but on the Disney Fantasy.
Yeah, right.
now, was Santa able to find the ship out there at sea?
So yeah, Santa came out and he made an appearance.
Nice. Yeah, that's something definitely that, it's obviously not something you're going to do every year. Most people are not going to do every year. It's a once in a lifetime thing. But I would imagine that, like your daughter, your family will be talking about this for the rest of your lives. That Christmas we were out at sea.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, let's talk about after the cruise ended. You guys, before the cruise, you were at Walt Disney World at Port Orleans. So your thoughts on this resort, what'd you guys do over there?
So I went to Port Orleans on a Thursday night, and we went to great resort. I like Port Orleans better than Riverside.
Really? So you like the French Quarter?
Yeah, the French Quarter better than Riverside. I thought I would have liked Riverside better, but for some reason I just liked it. But basically, we went to. We went on the first night. We took the bus over to Grand Floridian, Grand Floridian Cafe. My daughter likes the Grand Floridian burger there.
Good taste.
Then we hopped over to Downtown Disney for a little bit. Then the next day, it was a Friday night. Instead of getting a park ticket, we ended up doing the Christmas the Christmas night.
Oh yeah, it's a great way to get in the park without having to buy a Magic Your Way ticket.
Yeah, yeah, and we were able to get in the park, I think, around 4 o'clock, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did the Very Merry Christmas party on that night, and got up the next morning and actually rented a car I rented a car from Hertz, and they picked me up from my hotel on Friday evening, and so I had my rental car. And then on a Saturday, we went over to the cruise.
I think it's a great way, though. Like, I love the idea of the Christmas party because, again, you're going to be celebrating Christmas on the Disney Cruise Line. But, hey, man, let's kick it off on land at the Magic Kingdom. I mean, that's like the best of both worlds. You guys did it right, man. You thought this out. And French Quarter's really, it's beautiful any time of the year, but you know, it's very quaint, and it reminds, I don't know what it is, because it's New Orleans, but it is kind of one of the resorts besides like the Grand Floridian and Wilderness Lodge. It kind of, it reminds me a little bit of Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely.
So after the cruise, you spent one night at Wilderness Lodge, again, one of the better places to go during the holiday season. So what'd you think about the lodge?
Yeah, so we had to leave with a bang, you know, just one more night over at Disney, and went over to the Wilderness Lodge. We stayed using a one night stay using DVC points, and we ate over at the, well, I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the restaurant over there.
The Whispering Canyon, maybe?
Yeah, the one with all the ketchup.
Yeah, there you go. The Whispering Canyon needs some ketchup.
Yeah, so we had lunch at the Whispering Canyon, and then that was really good. We went over to Artist Point and we had dinner there, but honestly, we just ate appetizers. We ate too much.
That's it. After a cruise, you're just like, oh man, please don't make me eat anymore.
Right. But then the next morning, we went back to the Whispering Canyon and had breakfast, and probably the best French toast I've ever had.
You're killing me. French toast sounds so good right now.
Yeah. With like the banana French toast. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
and then we kind of just ended up, my daughter and I took a, one of those, boats around the lake there. We rented one of those boats for 1 hour and just, drove around the lake.
Now, see, those are the things I think a lot of people, myself included, don't think about doing on a Walt Disney World vacation. So what made you decide, hey, man, you know, we're not going to a park today. We're kind of wrapping up this epic Christmas vacation. But you, I bet you you're still talking about that, because that would be a very unique experience for most people.
It was, you know, basically we had, you know, our plane didn't leave till 6 that night on the last night. And we had several hours to kill. And we're like, well, you know, there's the boat launch right off here at Wilderness Lodge. Just go check out, see what the cost is. And we just went out there for paid for 1 hour, and it's probably, you know, another highlight of our vacation. And you know, we didn't even have to go in the parks.
That's it. There's so much to do outside the parks. Like, you know, we went down that one time for a cruise over spring break and stayed a couple of nights before just so we could get in and get settled. And We had a blast just hanging out at the resort, playing putt-putt, going to Downtown Disney, visiting other resorts. I mean, there's a lot of pressure off when you don't have to go into the parks, which sounds so weird for Walt Disney World, but it is so true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ed, I appreciate you taking the time to share this with us, man. What a unique trip, and it sounds like your family had a great time. Please thank your daughter for helping us out today. We appreciate that. And you know what? It sounds like we're going to get to see each other down at Marathon Weekend in 2016, I hope. So good luck in your runs. Good luck in your training. And again, thanks for coming on the show today.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the good folks over at touringplans.com. And we know that you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to Walt Disney World and I'm not going to go into the parks. But for 99% of you, and myself included most trips, it's not true. You're going into those parks and you don't want to stand in line. You want to ride those killer attractions. You want to do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, meet Anna and Elsa, do Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, everything. And you know what? You only get 3 fast passes a day. So the solution there is to get a premium subscription to touringplans.com. And it's going to give you the information you need to stay out of lines and see the attractions that you are most interested in. So check out all the great services they offer. Very, very inexpensive. And it's going to make your next vacation great. They're over at touringplans.com. Plan to join us this Sunday. This Sunday, that's right. It's the day after Valentine's Day. Sunday, February 15th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, Magical Mouse Radio. It's the next Be Our Guest podcast live show. We're going to be taking your calls and talking Disney, so don't be late and don't miss it. This Sunday, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give MagicalMouseRadio.com a listen this week, and don't forget, on Saturday, we're going to be playing 24 hours of Disney love songs. That's right, we're your soundtrack for Valentine's Day 2015. Nothing but Disney love songs all day, all night. We might even keep it going into Sunday. Who knows if I forget to hit the button. So check it out all the time. We play great Walt Disney World audio for you, MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And finally, don't forget, we have an app. It is free. It is for all iOS devices. It's called the Be Our Guest Podcast app. You can listen to the show, listen to Magical Mouse Radio, interact on the social media, and more. Put it on your iOS device today. It's the Be Our Guest Podcast Trip Planner app. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Remember, don't forget to go shopping later this week, guys. Keep you out of the doghouse. So for Ed, I'm Mike, wishing you an outstanding week. Work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.